I admit for some time I've felt off my game, and feeling off my game have been making sure to write out my sermons so that I don't have to worry about my brain going on detours and not following the plan that's in it. But after some rest and relaxation, feeling more like myself and inviting back into less of a reading to you and more of a conversation with you. And so as we go into the conversation with God's word, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So now before I actually get into the text, I want you to be invited into a little bit of a journey with me. And I'm calling this my journey with water. Because here we have a text where Judas is not understanding something that's happening. And as he's not understanding it, it's not allowing him to be fully in the moment. Now, something that I have spent much of my life not fully understanding, I would say, is water. So to go back, you have to go back to me being a young child who was skinny as a rail, if you can imagine it. Can you imagine me being skinny as a rail? Have any of you seen my son, Aiden? Take Aiden and take another 10 pounds off him, and you have young me. I mean, there was nothing on my bones. And so I tried to go to swim lessons. Mom put me in swim lessons. Thank you, Mom, for the swim lessons, as she's on Facebook. But what would happen? I would get in the pool. I had nothing to keep me warm. I would turn blue, and they would say, Miss Brooks, you need to get her out of the pool. And somehow I just never finished swim lessons because I just always was too cold, and I didn't have the fat needed to float. And so water wasn't the greatest of experiences for me. And so I was fine most of the time, just sitting on the side of the pool. I loved sitting in the sand. It just wasn't something that I gravitated to and loved. Now, fast forward into college, and the friends that I was hanging out with loved to surf. So they invited me to go surfing with them. I said, sure, I'll go surfing with you. At least I had a wetsuit for this one and a hand-me-down board that was like this thick, I kid you not. And I would paddle out with them, and it would take me what felt like an eternity to paddle out, because if you know surfing, to actually get past the waves, you have to be able to duck dive under them, because then the power of the wave isn't pushing you back. Well, this board was so thick, I couldn't push it down to duck dive, so every wave just sent me back, and then here I'd go again, and the next wave would send me back, and by the time I got out there, I was just exhausted. Now, why in the world would I ever be crazy enough after that experience to try to catch a wave, in which case I would then have to spend an eternity getting back out there? That just seemed crazy to me. And so what would I do? I would paddle out with them, and I would sit on the board just past the break so I wasn't having to deal with the waves. I would watch them surf. I would enjoy the sun rising. I would enjoy just bobbing in the water with only my legs in it, in my wetsuit, keeping me warm. And when they finished, I would paddle back in. I called it stationary surfing. If you're ever interested, I'll give you stationary surfing lessons. Just somebody else has to teach you how to duck dive. So water, beach, all of that, it just hasn't been, like I said, that excitement for me. Even trying snorkeling what felt like the first time in the Caribbean when I was pregnant with Kylie. I mean, we're talking about snorkeling in the Caribbean. I mean, how many people would jump at the opportunity right now if they could be snorkeling in the Caribbean? Mr. Fisherman over here says absolutely. I mean, you're talking gorgeous water, beautiful fish. I mean, everything there to enjoy. And I couldn't relax with this mask and a snorkel and not having control of my breathing without an apparatus. I couldn't relax. I couldn't do it. I did it for a little bit, and then I admit I blamed pregnancy of having to get back on the boat, but it was just not enjoyable to me because of where I was in the water. Well, fast forward to November. November, as a family, we got to go out to Hawaii. And what do you do in Hawaii? Water sports, right? And here my kids were going for the first time. And for me, they had a list of experiences that they needed to accomplish in Hawaii. Being of their ages, I said, if they're going to Hawaii, they gotta try surfing. I mean, if you're in Hawaii and you're young, you gotta take some surf lessons and at least try it. They went kicking and screaming, but they tried it and they loved it. I just knew we had to go snorkeling with the big giant sea turtles because it might be the only opportunity to do that. And I know they needed to do that. And these things I wanted them to do, I wanted them to experience, I wanted them to enjoy. And what was the only way I could do that? But was me doing it too, right? And so first on the list came surfing. And I'm like, oh, here we go, having to paddle out. But I'm gonna go surfing with my kids and my brother and my niece and my nephew, and I'm gonna do it because we're in Hawaii and this is what we are doing. And we paddled out there, and the first to try to catch a wave was my 13-year-old niece. Okay, she doesn't do sports. She's not really super athletic. She has her other gifts that make me just love her to death. But she was first out there, and they pushed her into that wave, and she stood right up on the board like this, straight and tall, and shoo, until the wave ran out. Proudest moment of my life, watching her do that. But also, I watched her so easily get up and stand. How could I not be able to do that too? How can I not just give it everything I've got? Let me tell you, that was one of my favorite mornings in Hawaii. Surfing and getting to stand on the board and riding those waves and even paddling back out because they were little enough they couldn't send me anywhere. And I loved it. And then we went snorkeling. And that anxiety comes again. But you know what? Getting to be out in that water, in particular with my Kylie bear. Aiden and Maddie, they had more of the anxiety. They struggled a little bit more with how crowded it was and with the equipment. But Kylie found a home in that water. And finding the ability to just relax and float and breathe normally and be swimming alongside of her and both of us pointing things and being excited. All of a sudden, it wasn't an anxious experience. It was a beloved experience. It was beautiful to see what was in the water. It was a place I didn't want to get out of because it felt so comfortable and getting to experience it with her. Now, fast forward to this last week. I promise this is our last fast forward. Getting to go back to Hawaii again. I mean, a treat is going to Hawaii once in a year, but going to Hawaii twice in a year, I mean, there is no greater gift that you could receive. But now here's some new challenges came up. One, there was the exciting of getting to surf again with a friend that was out there, and that was amazing, and getting to do stand-up paddleboard, and all of a sudden, I was eager to paddle out because I knew what it was gonna feel like, and I knew how good it would be to be riding those waves and out in the water. But then the new challenge came in trying scuba diving for the first time, and I thought, all right, I've struggled with a snorkel. How's this gonna go with an apparatus and a tank and all of this stuff? And I have to tell you, the funniest thing is I got in that water and we got to where we were going and all I could do was sink to the bottom. I couldn't figure out why I was just always on the bottom and trying to push myself up, and I'd push the button that would inflate things so it would send me up, and the instructor would do this at me and deflate it, and she's trying to tell me things. And I had to finally realize, oh, there's the science of buoyancy, you know? If you fill your lungs with air and hold it, you'll float. If you exhale and empty your lungs of air and hold it, you'll sink. All of a sudden realizing it's not in the apparatuses and it's not in the composition of my body fat percentage that makes me float. I have control through my lungs. And here was this whole new world getting to be on the bottom and not surfacing and getting to see all the fish and doing that. And then last one. So I went with Miss Becky. And if you don't know Miss Becky, one of her obsessions is sharks. Loves sharks. Any shark lovers in here? No Shark Week fans? I watch too much Shark Week. I know what sharks do is they eat people, okay? But Miss Becky loves sharks. And so we went on a shark diving tour. Okay, you ready for this? If you haven't seen it on Facebook, we got in a boat, North Shore. We went 3 miles out to where the water was gorgeous and nobody else was around. And then they said, we're gonna rev the engines because sharks know when the engines are there, it's usually the crab fishermen and they get their cast offs. And so when they hear the boat engines, they come to the boat. So here they rev the engines and all of a sudden these what seemed like ginormous sharks are circling the boat. And when the ginormous sharks start circling the boat, they hand us our snorkel gear and say, jump in. All of this sounded good till I saw that first shark and they said, jump in. And I said, everyone else can go first. You don't want to go? I'm just going to make sure everybody else doesn't get eaten when they first get in the water. You can all be the test audience. And let me tell you, getting in that water and putting my face in to this gorgeous blue water and seeing these huge sharks was one of the most terrifying things I have ever done and one of the most awesome things I've ever done. One of them actually came swimming towards me to where I could like see his eyeballs and felt like I could touch him. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm gonna die right now. But being out with them, like these creatures that God has created, that you seem like you should be so scared of by what you see on TV and these reports and everything else, and to see how majestic they are and how they were just curious about us, but then just kept swimming. They didn't see us as a threat. They didn't see us as food. They saw us coexisting together in that water. They even told us when they come, make eye contact with them. You make that connection with them, and then they see you as friend and not foe. And from what was the most terrifying was this incredible experience that I may never be willing to do again because y'all, those were sharks in the water. But this journey of seeing this vast ocean that we have and spending too much of a lifetime standing on the shore, not comfortable and too afraid to enjoy it and explore it, but then to take those steps to do that made me wonder, where else in my life am I doing that? And in particular, where in my faith am I doing that? Where it seems safest to stand on the shore, to say, yes, God, I'm here and I trust you and I love you and I'm all in with you until it requires moving in past my toes, right? Or I'll give you up to my knees or my waist, but as soon as it gets there, I don't know. And oftentimes that's because of uncertainty and fear and not having experienced it. To really experience faith, I had to pack my world up and move across the country to go to seminary. Trusting that God would help me land on my feet, that God would be there through all of the studies, being away really truly from home for the first time, but doing it for God and the purpose that God had for me. Taking those moments where those big steps are taken. But like the water, when you take those big steps in faith, when you really truly submit to the power of God, it's like the enjoyment of that water, that freedom feeling that you get when the Holy Spirit is wrapped around you and says, I've got you, now just relax and enjoy the ride? What stops us from being in that place? I see Mary in our text in that place. Mary with sister Martha and brother Lazarus. Most likely this is the same meal where Martha's getting upset because Mary isn't working. She's sitting and listening. That story's not in John. That's over in the other Gospels. This is John's story of being with the sisters and the brother. But besides sitting and listening and being out of her place, Mary's also seeing the opportunity to take a leap. Mary has an expensive perfume, a bottle that for an average worker would take a year to earn enough money for. I mean, here's a valued possession. And see, she sees Jesus in her house with an opportunity to serve him and care for him. And she grabs her bottle and almost with reckless abandon starts pouring it on his feet, pouring out grace upon grace out of love for him. And there are those that don't understand it. We hear Judas saying, wait, wait, wait. How many poor people could you feed with the money from that bottle of perfume? Side note, Judas just wanted to get a percentage of it. But why would you waste it in this moment? And Jesus says it's not being wasted. There's all sorts of time to take care of the poor. There's opportunities for that because guess what? The poor will always be with us. Just go drive towards the 110 freeway, right? But Jesus says, but I'm here and now. And she is taking the opportunity. Jesus is just moments from heading to his arrest and trial and death. And what does he have to prepare him for that? The outpouring of love from Mary to anoint his feet and prepare him for all of the strength that would be needed for what is to come. Whose seat are we sitting in? Are we sitting in the seat of the skeptic? Are we sitting in the seat of the one who's afraid to take a step or make a move? Or are we the one who sees the opportunity to know that Jesus is there and that we can pour out grace upon grace with an abundance of love for Jesus? Justo Gonzalez, who's an incredible liberation theologian, addresses this and talks about the poor and the justice in this. And he says, we're just right around the corner from Easter, which is this huge celebration, right? But some would say, how can we celebrate when there's so much pain and suffering that's happening? Some could say, how could we let loose and sing all the alleluias and have the Easter lilies and Easter egg hunts and dress up and do all of that when we see what's happening in Ukraine on TV? When we know that we're still suffering under COVID, even though it's getting better, that it's still affecting everything. How can we do such celebration when there's people who are hurting and starving? And Justo Gonzalez points out, we celebrate because Jesus is present, and it's the blessed thing that we can do. Easter is coming. Easter is our day to celebrate with full force the life and the liberty that comes through Jesus Christ. And so, however, these next 2 weeks, are we going to spend our time and energy and heart to be ready for that celebration, to be ready to realize the impact of what happens on Good Friday in that cross, to feel the full force of Saturday, a day without our Christ, and then to be able to come in singing every praise possible because Jesus is alive. Jesus, like that wonderful world under the water that's all around us, has this wonder and awesome place he invites us to if we will just step in, trust, and give ourselves fully to him. And always remember, look to your right and look to your left, because we are doing this together. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for all the parts of creation, this amazing home that you have given us, and all of the places we have explored and all the places we have yet to explore. But knowing the greatest place for us to explore is our life and our walk with you. To be able to embrace your Son as our Savior. And with that embrace, to not live in fear and uncertainty, but to live with reckless abandon that seeks to experience fully what a committed life in Christ is. To feel that freedom, to feel that joy, to feel that comfort, and to feel that peace that comes when we are all in. May we take one another's hands and leap together on this day as we live in love for you and for one another. Amen.